I have a secret.
Uh-huh.
I use Secret Whole Body Deodorant because more than just my armpits stink.
Oh, can I use it where my bra rubs under my...
Oh, yeah.
And what about down there? You know, my...
Totally. 4 out of 5 gynecologists would recommend it. So I tried it, and now I get 72 hours of freshness from my pits to my...
Ooh, I love that it's a spray.
Me too. And it comes in sticks and creams too. Go get your Secret Whole Body Deodorant.
All right, we have 2 more Leagues Cup showcase matches for you tonight. We got MLS versus Liga MX with Cincinnati hosting Chivas at 7 Eastern, then Nashville taking on Club America. Both matches are on ESPN and on the ESPN app as we continue a fun-filled morning here on Get Up Live. As always, we are at the Seaport. We are brought to you by Chase. You see the squad we put together here. Heather Dinich rolling along, Paul Feinbaum rolling along, and Buster only in this hour because we had history made in baseball last night, and that is where it begins. All rise. The judge was at it. Game of the night last night. Yankees, Pirates, bottom of 9. Yanks down 8-4. Judge sitting on 59. Michael Kay sitting behind the mic. Roger Maris's family sitting in attendance. Here we go.
Judge, and here's the 3-1. Drill deep to left field. There it goes. Number 60. Slide over, babe. You've got some company. Aaron James Judge has tied George Herman Babe Ruth with 60 home runs.
Now the fans scrambling for the baseball. They had special balls for it last night. Judge taking a curtain call. You figure, all right, that's enough drama for one night. Well, you figured wrong. Yanks still down 8-5, but watch this. Anthony Rizzo was the next batter. He ropes one into left center. Yankees string a couple of hits together. Then Gleyber Torres would walk. So now they've got first and second, down by 3 runs. Nobody out. Josh Donaldson at the plate. That one's going to get down. Rizzo will be held at third. The Yankees have the bases loaded. There's still nobody out. Giancarlo Stanton comes to the plate. Giancarlo, no see poo, stop Parlo. Michael Kay, and a good night. Listen to this.
That one's drilled to left field. Is it high enough? See ya! A walk-off grand slam, and the Yankees win. Judge hit 60, and the Yankees win in walk-off fashion.
Can you believe it? What a night in the Bronx. Judge was the first one who loved it. Yanks come all the way back to win. Stanton has the grand slam, but it was Judge who makes the history.
I don't think about it. I don't think about the numbers. And, you know, when you talk about Ruth and Maris and Mantle and all these, you know, Yankees greats that, you know, did so many great things in this game. You know, you never imagine as a kid, you know, getting mentioned with them. But, you know, it's an incredible honor.
And it's an incredible accomplishment, and he actually gets there in 147 games. That's faster than Ruth. That's faster than Maris. You see, the only 2 players ever to get there more quickly to 60 in a season. We all understand the extenuating circumstances with those 2. We'll hear from Buster Olney a little later this hour on the extraordinary accomplishment of Aaron Judge. Meanwhile, to the NFL. We start in Dallas. Without Dak Prescott, the Cowboys beat the Bengals Sunday behind their backup quarterback Cooper Rush. Yesterday on his radio show, Jerry Jones saying he thinks we might see Dak back much sooner than expected.
I do know that I think after a good airing out last week, everybody recognizes that he'll be back sooner rather than later as far as the timeline. And it really could be a minimal of 2 weeks up here in my mind. Now, that's very optimistic. He's got the kind of repair there that will allow him not to have a lot of fear about re-injuring. It's just a question of the grip. But it's a big question.
Yeah, you can say that.
Quarterback gripping the football is slightly important.
The key word there, though, in my mind, like, yes, in Jerry's mind, this is how it all plays out.
It's just a question of whether or not he can hold the football. That's pretty much all the quarterback has to get to. But that's Jerry selling hope. Yeah. That's what he does better than anyone. And his team backed it up. They created hope for themselves on Sunday. For everyone who wrote the Cowboys off, which is basically everyone but me, what do we say about them after they found a way to beat Cincinnati Sunday? We look coming up here. here. They got the Giants, not unbeatable. The Commanders, not unbeatable. Dak coming back soon after that. Where are the Dallas Cowboys right now?
Well, they're a team that's keeping their division title hopes alive. And what's doing that is the defense. And I think that's the part that people are coming to grips with. The Cowboys being competitive this year, it's going to have to look a lot different than what we've seen in the past in the Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott era of Cowboys football. It's going to be led by the defense because that's where their best player is, Micah Parsons. And I think the offense has to be a complement to that. And so when you play really good defense, what your offense should do, protect the football, be able to run the football. Right now, the Dallas Cowboys offensive line, the best run block win rate in the National Football League. Now, Tony Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott have got to step up in terms of production because right now they're only 21st in yards per attempt. But if those guys can pick it up a tick and Dak Prescott can play within the structure of the offense, there is a case to be made for the Cowboys competing in the NFC East. I still don't think they're going to win it. I think that belongs to the Eagles, but they could at least make it an interesting race.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. It was brought up yesterday by RG3, and Dominique is, of course, a member of the Prescott family. Is that did they find the formula for offense, especially if you're going to be a team that's going to be defense-led?
Right.
Did they find the – even when Dak comes back, should this be a team that features the running game first and foremost?
I mean, I think that'd be nice, but it's, I feel like it's unrealistic in modern NFL that you're going to be like a run-first offense. I think it's a bit of an overreaction to what happened against Tampa Bay. The defense that you said is the best in football. Yeah, they struggled against them. They're the best in football. They did a little bit better with Cooper Rush against the Bengals, who don't have a good defense, or don't have a great defense, but a good defense. But the idea that somehow they're going to go back to 1990s football and they're just going to pound through everybody, they don't have that offensive line right now, and they do have a really good quarterback who may or may not be able to grip the football.
Well, may or may not.
They've got a really good quarterback that they can't protect because they have the worst pass block win rate in the entire National
they
Football
League. They played the
Bucs. I'm just saying.
The Bucs are good at rushing the passer.
I mean, all those are true. And they're going to get Michael Gallup back. It could get better as we go. I think there's a lot of reason. I'm selling hope for the Dallas Cowboys. The question on the screen is, can they win this division? Kmart, why are you rolling your eyes at me?
You're selling hope. It just sounds like you should be on the street corner like, please believe in the Dallas Cowboys. No, again, I think this is the same issue preseason. We knew the division they play in. That's why even with the offseason that the Eagles had, we thought, okay, Dallas still has a chance. But now that the season has started and we've seen how the Eagles have played, we've seen how that offense works, I don't think it's just enough to say when they get Michael Gallup back, when Dak comes back, like if they get a rushing attack. The Eagles are also part of this equation. And unless they are decimated by injuries or Jalen Hurts completely stops developing the way we've seen him develop, I don't think it's going to be enough for the Cowboys. Yes, they have hope. So sell the viewers on the hope.
I'm selling on hope. If the Cowboys fall out of this thing, I've said it before, we go on hiatus in November. So, I mean, we need it. Let's go.
Jerry.
Get Dak back. We'll see what the Cowboys are able to do. Our next stop, meanwhile, is Pittsburgh. This is a very interesting little scenario. They're 1-1. Their backup or their back-to-back performances from their starting quarterback, Mitch Trubisky, can be kindly described as subpar. Yesterday, Trubisky himself talked about the improvements he needs to make heading into tomorrow night's game against Cleveland. Listen.
I just got to get these playmakers of football, whether it's whatever route they're running, I just got to get them the ball. So it really comes down to me making better decisions, being aggressive, and putting ourselves in that position.
All right, so the fans are ready for a change. And in case you don't believe me, I brought one of their fans into our studio this morning. Heather Dinich, who should the quarterback of the Steelers be?
Kenny Pickett.
Hello.
Absolutely, 100%.
Why?
Well, because Mitch Trubisky is not comfortable in the pocket. He looks like he's nervous about keeping his job, because he should be, because he's got number one draft pick behind him, whose sources tell me people on the team really like. So when you look at his footwork, it's really poor. Guys, Pittsburgh couldn't get a first down on their last two possessions. If he can't rectify this against Myles Garrett, it's time to make a change.
What do you think, Kmart? Because yesterday, Mike Tomlin, we had some sound from him saying that he's exercising patience.
Yeah.
But they play a Thursday night. We all know what that means. It means they get 10 days off before their next game. If you're going to make a quarterback change, that might be a reasonable time to do it.
So, Mike Tomlin, going into the season, was always going to be Trubisky. He named him a captain. So right there, you're like, okay, this is
What you think? But the goal, the intention was to be patient. But with all the chance for Kenny Pickett, even in the preseason games, you knew that Mitch Trubisky was going to be on a short leash. And the issue for with Money Mitch was that you've got to keep the rookie at bay. Like, you have to play well. He's talking about, I need to throw the ball downfield. We need more opportunity. Well, just throw passes that actually hit receivers, like actually do the job. Because fans right now, like, the Steelers have the worst passing offense in the NFL. Like, that's not going to satiate this fan base, obviously.
Yeah. Chris Canty, why were you laughing at the captaincy?
No, I'm just laughing because we're trying to anoint Mitch Trubisky, and all he did was spend a year in Buffalo as a backup quarterback, and we're all of a sudden assuming that he's better than what he was in Chicago.
But you're saying off of some preseason games, we know that Kenny Pickett should suddenly supplant Mitch Trubisky. It's sort of like there's been such a small sample size with both of these guys.
No, what I know is Kenny Pickett can't be worse than Mitch Trubisky in what we've seen. He can't be. Listen, in the second half of that game against the Cincinnati Bengals, the Pittsburgh Steelers offense had 60 total yards of offense. On Sunday against the New England Patriots, they had 20 total yards of offense in the fourth quarter. That is god-awful. You don't have to practice to go out there and do that. They have the second fewest first downs in through 2 weeks in the National Football League. All I'm simply saying is Kenny Pickett can't be worse. Why lose with Mitch Trubisky when
Listen.
Why lose with Mitch Trubisky when you can play Kenny Pickett, and even if he struggles early on, you at least get the benefit of your franchise quarterback gaining some experience and being able to develop on the job?
That's not always a benefit. Mm-hmm. Putting your franchise quarterback out there in a bad situation is not always a benefit. Talk we don't know that it. Kenny Pickett is a franchise quarterback, but what I do know, because I respect offense and defensive linemen, is that no single quarterback can drop in a situation and all of a sudden it all gets better. The Steelers' offensive line hasn't been terrible this year, but based on what I've seen last year and some of those clips we saw right there and what I project this offensive line to be, I don't think that you can drop Kenny Pickett in there and they're going to skyrocket. I think that you have to take into account that there's some risk that comes with putting Kenny Pickett in the game. There are some quarterbacks that are ruined because they are put in situations and we require more of them. And they get in there and they get panicky and they try to do more. They don't learn to read a defense. They are running for their lives, and I think that's the concern with putting Kenny Pickett in there on this team.
But if plan A doesn't work, you gotta go to plan B.
There you go. You just have to. That's the point. We're clearly seeing it not work with Mitch Trubisky. And Dom, I get it. There is risk associated with it. But we've seen young quarterbacks in the past be able to overcome shaky offensive lines. I mentioned Joe Burrow last year. He was the most sacked quarterback in his first full season in the NFL. Deshaun Watson, the same thing. You look at Kyler Murray, the same thing. So we've seen young quarterbacks.
Let me finish.
Let me finish. Right. We've seen young quarterbacks be able to overcome it. It is a risk because you could go the opposite way. David Carr had the career knocked out of him in his first year as a starter down with the Texans. So it can happen. All I'm simply saying is you have to weigh that versus punting on your season with Mitch Trubisky continuing to be your quarterback.
Look, if it keeps going like this, I think we all acknowledge the change is going to be made. It's just a question of when. So how much patience are you suggesting they should have?
I think Kimberly laid it out good. We wait for the bye week, but I wish that the
Steelers... week 8 or 9.
I wish the Steelers' offense was as efficient as Heather is today. She's come in with like 3 words and nailed the entire ethos of all of the Steelers fans. If plan A doesn't work, go to plan B. That was the thing that got me thinking maybe I'm wrong, because you're right. Plan A isn't working, so maybe they should do something different.
Nobody should be surprised they lost Ben Roethlisberger. Like, this is a quarterback change for a program that is significant, and there's going to be some disruption.
I also feel like we don't talk about Kenny Pickett like he was a first-round draft pick. He was a first-round draft pick in the NFL draft. Just because it wasn't a quarterback-rich draft and some people weren't that high on him, he's a first-round pick. He's going to get on the field. It's just a question of when. Maybe it's a week from Sunday. In the meantime, a couple of legendary quarterbacks are going out this Sunday head-to-head. Brady versus Rodgers. Why Tampa Tom might actually be in a worse position than Aaron right this minute. Plus, the ultimate test for Tua and the Dolphins. One member of our crew says they're going to knock off Josh Allen and the Bills. You'll hear who as we continue. It's Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We're back, and there may be no more interesting game on the schedule this weekend than Bills-Dolphins in Miami. Let's play What's Your Number. Neek, how many passing yards will Tua have against Buffalo?
I went with 372. I went with 72 because of the 1972 Dolphins.
Oh.
I see hints of that type of talent on this team. It's like Duper. Well, I guess Duper and Clayton won it. But anyway, it's
way
just
before
it's
that.
Good. Yeah, it was way before that. But
before
I love
that.
What the Dolphins are doing this season. It's a lot more fun. These receivers are outstanding, and Tua's come along quite well. I think he throws for a lot of yards because the Bills are going to score a lot of points, so they're going to have to throw a lot of passes.
How about the other side, Kmart? Total touchdowns, Josh Allen in this game.
Well, Greeny, if Lamar Jackson threw 3 touchdowns against the Dolphins, mm-hmm. I'm going to say Joshua has 4. Did you see Stephon Diggs? Are you guys watching that bromance? Mm-hmm. Like, they're just that chemistry, they're unstoppable. I think Josh has a big day.
Yeah, he did it without Gabriel Davis on mm-hmm. Monday night as well. Then finally, Canty, how about Tyreek? Kmart was there to watch the show he put on the other day. How many receiving yards does he have Sunday?
I'm going to say 90 receiving yards, which is slightly above half of what he's averaging through the first 2 weeks. Listen, this Buffalo Bills secondary lived the nightmare of Tyreek Hill housing the touchdown at the end of the overtime in that divisional round last year. They're not going to let that happen again. They're not going to do what the Baltimore Ravens secondary did in the fourth quarter of that game this past week. So I'm going to have Tyreek Hill 90 yards receiving. He's going to get his, but it ain't going to look like what we saw on Sunday.
All right. To me, there is so much at stake in this game. I want to start with you, Kmart, because you were there. And we actually played back the clip, which was adorable, where you told Tyreek Hill that Tua had the 6 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. What did that mean to them? The Dolphins are a team, a lot of questions about the quarterback, mm-hmm. everything mm-hmm. else. What did it mean to them? You were there.
I think that was a statement game. Like, that was a statement game for a quarterback because he came in with so many questions. And Tyreek, before the game, I spoke to Tyreek Hill, and he talked to me about how Tua, everything I've been saying is true. Week 1, we got to witness it against New England, and it will continue. And those 6 touchdowns were proof of what he's saying, that he's an accurate passer, that he throws receiver-friendly balls. But the biggest thing to me was Mike McDaniel saying that Tua actually proved a lot to his teammates and to himself. I think the confidence is his issue, and he starts to press, especially after the 2 miscues early, and to go on and throw 4 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. That is huge for this franchise.
You like them this Sunday against Buffalo?
I think they have a really good chance because Mike McDaniel is a run game genius. This is where he's going to have to figure out how to run the ball. They have an improved offensive line. And the weakness of the Bills' defense, if there is a weakness, is that they're weak at the corner spots. They have young guys out there who don't have much experience. Mm-hmm. And they are able to protect them with their 2 great safeties staying high.
Yep.
If Mike McDaniel is able to figure out a way to run the ball effectively, it draws 1 safety in the box, and boy, are you in trouble if you have two young corners out there trying to run with Waddle and Hill. Yes. It could get ugly fast. It could be a shootout. They're able to do that. In that Miami Heat, the Bills have not played in a game like that yet.
Look, I mean, and not only are they playing in the Miami Heat, but they also are in a short week on the road, right? They play Monday night. Now they go on the road to play on Sunday. That would be quite the statement. We're all sitting here anointing the Bills as the greatest team in the sport and one of the great teams that we've seen early of all time. What would the statement be if the Dolphins go down or come down there and beat them?
Well, they would be the team to beat in the AFC East.
They would be.
I think that's the statement that they could potentially make. Now, I don't think that's going to happen. We'll have to see about the health of Micah Hyde, who's a really important piece to that Buffalo Bills defense. But the reason I'm bullish on the Bills being able to neutralize the passing attack for the Miami Dolphins is the defensive front. Like, we're lauding the offensive line for the Miami Dolphins, and rightfully so, but they ain't seen nothing like Von Miller, Greg Rousseau, Boogie Basham, and A.J. Epenesa. They got tons of pass rushers that they can come at you with in waves. So that'll be the interesting thing to see. Can that O-line hold up so that Tua can get the ball to Jalen Waddle and get the ball to Tyreek Hill?
Well, let me very quickly circle back, because we had this conversation a little bit earlier today. We talked, you did not sound like you were that sold on Tua despite the 6 touchdowns this past Sunday. Why?
I'm not. I mean, Tua did a good job of not blowing the layups, and what I mean by that is being able to hit open receivers with busted coverages. Listen, man, you can go back and look at the tape. That pass right there to Jalen Waddle, that was high and behind him in the red zone. The other throws that he had to Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, that was a long touchdown, that were coverage bust by Marcus Williams and Marcus Peters looking in the backfield. Neek, you know a lot about defensive back play. Why is Marcus Peters looking in the backfield when he's in man-to-man coverage on the fastest player in the NFL? Please explain that to me. You have a 3-touchdown lead going into the fourth quarter. The only way you can lose is by letting Tua throw 4 touchdowns, and they let it happen. That's not going to happen every single Sunday. That's why I'm not buying into him from a 6-touchdown performance.
You can't leave a game when a man throws for 469 yards and 6 touchdowns and try to criticize him. That pass to Waddle had to be high. There was a linebacker right there. The pass to Gesicki. Like, those are the things that make the difference. I'm with you. When there's a breakdown in coverage and you hit a wide open person, okay, we don't have to give you a bunch of credit. But when they needed that game-winning touchdown, they doubled Tyreek Hill. He threw it high and behind Waddle to keep him away from the safety, threw it high to get it over the linebacker. There's a pass that had to be there. The touchdown, Gesicki, seemed like it was too high, but he knew Gesicki could get there. Like, that's the accuracy stuff that I think makes Tua special. Mm. He anticipated these opportunities and hit him there, which is why you don't want to see them if you have to match up those receivers in man-to-man. And he can miss 5 throws a game. But if he hits 1 or 2 at the right time to those guys, it might be 6.
The interesting thing is I talked to Calais Campbell heading into that game, and he said, Tua, we have got to make it so that he can't see. We have to get in his face. And Tua's talked about being a little short and how sometimes those passing windows aren't clear, right? But Tyreek said safety play is so important because I love having Jalen Waddle with me, because I know that we can break off a home run play at any moment, and I'm getting favorable matchups because people have to watch out for him, and safeties have to know how you've got to take care of both sides of the field when we're out there. That is a difficult task, and I know the Buffalo Bills have a very good defense. When you're talking about not having White and you're talking about Micah Hyde day-to-day with a neck injury, like that, I still think the Bills will win, but I don't think that the Dolphins have no shot at beating
them. All of that stuff doesn't matter if you're talking about the Bills' defensive front and being able to get to Tua.
Agreed.
Ravens were confident they could do that too.
The Ravens are bringing in JPP this week for pass rush help.
The two guys on the edge are a problem. You can't guard them. If you double both of them, then you have Gesicki up the middle. But the reason why the front may not be as important this week is because of the play-action game in the Shanahan history and the zone blocking. The Titans are a power rushing team. That matches up well with what the Bills have up front. If they are able to do these zone blocking things and someone misses assignment, they break a couple of those runs, it draws the safety in, they are going to be in for a long day if they think that they can cover those guys. And even they double both outside, Gesicki in the middle is a problem. It's a lot of weapons.
The Rams are a zone blocking team too.
You like the
didn't
7.
Didn't look great against the Bills week 1. Exactly. Exactly.
The
exactly.
arguments are going to continue as we go. In the meantime, as we go on, speaking of arguing, Paul Feinbaum's going to jump back in here. Has Georgia replaced Alabama as the number one program in college football? Paul with his take, you're not going to want to miss it. Plus, his team has a better record, but is Tom Brady actually in a worse spot than Aaron Rodgers is heading into their showdown on Sunday? We'll answer those. And then here's a little sneaky hembo and see if Canty can answer it. Who was the last NFL quarterback to win a triple crown? We know Aaron Judge might do that in baseball. meaning who's the last quarterback to lead the league in completion percentage, yards, and touchdowns in the same season? The answer's next.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. Delicious, meet nutritious in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Back at the bottom of the hour on Get Up, time for your wake-up call. A Yankees crazy comeback. History for Aaron Judge. John Sterling at the mic.
Swung on that. There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. He's tied the Babe. It's a Judgian blast. His 60th home run of the year. Wow. Swung on. Drilled to deep left. That ball is going to be... a grand slam to win the game. A Stantonian home run. What an inning.
No one was more excited than John was last night. By the way, if reaching 60 home runs wasn't enough, Judge also now leads all the Triple Crown categories. He's the first player since Miguel Cabrera won it in 2012 to lead all 3 categories in September or later. I had Buster Olney earlier this morning. He had this assessment of the season Judge is having.
This is the greatest single season performance by any hitter in the history of baseball because of how difficult hitting has become. This is what my conversation was yesterday with Mike Trout. Even since the beginning of his career in 2011, he mentioned the advent of analytics, how teams search for weaknesses in hitters, all the relievers, and everybody throwing harder than ever. And yet in the second half of the season, Aaron Judge hitting .372, a .506 on base percentage, .853 slugging percentage in 54 games.
And it literally might be the greatest season that we have ever seen, and he might win the Triple Crown. So Hambo put together a little Triple Crown question for you, Chris Canty. Who's the last quarterback to win a single-season Triple Crown in baseball, football, meaning leading in completion percentage, yards, and touchdowns?
Well, Greeny, if we're talking about one of the greatest quarterback seasons ever put together, then automatically we have to go to the greatest quarterback of all time. That would be Tom Brady in 2007.
He did do it, but it's happened more recently.
Really?
Once. It was Drew Brees in 2011. It's only happened,
Hambo.
Only happened 3 times ever. I was thinking Peyton Manning maybe that 1 year in Denver, but it wasn't. It's Brees in 2011, Brady in 2007, Warner in 2001, and that is it. So in any sport, Aaron Judge is having a spectacular season. All right, our next game is called Either Or, looking ahead to Week 3 this weekend. Hey, Kmart, who you like, Jimmy G or Russell Wilson?
Greeny, Russell Wilson will have better numbers, but I actually see the 49ers winning this game. I think Russell, after, you know, they had an ugly win over the Texans, I think Russell is going to come out looking to throw a lot, and I think they're going to play well. but I don't think the 49ers will lose this game.
So he's got San Francisco. Neek, Stephon Diggs or Tyreek Hill? Who you got?
It pains me to go away from my fellow Turtle and Stephon Diggs, but I got to go with Tyreek Hill. In part because Tyreek Hill is outstanding, but also they have Waddle and they have Gesicki. They have guys to take coverage away. I think Diggs, as good as he is, they don't have as many other weapons. You can double Diggs out of the game. Doesn't mean Josh Allen's not going to ball, but it means Diggs' numbers may not be as big as I think Tyreek Hill's going to be able to do against Buffalo.
And then Canty, how about this quarterback matchup? Brady, Rodgers, who you got?
I'm going with Brady just because Aaron Rodgers is going up against the better of the two defenses. And so I don't necessarily trust either offense. They got concerns on the offensive line. They got concerns at receiver. But I'm just looking at the matchup, and that Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense is in midseason form. In week three, they're that good. And so I think it's going to be a long day for Aaron Rodgers.
But look, last time we saw Brady and Rodgers together, they were playing golf together, and this is going to be a little different from that. And generally speaking, we've spent so much time talking about the weapons that Aaron Rodgers doesn't have. This Sunday, Tom Brady is going to be looking across the field saying, hey, could I borrow Alan Lazard? Without Mike Evans and all the other injuries, is Tampa's defense going to have to carry Brady?
I think they're going to have to. I think they're capable of doing that because they got some goons over there.
Yeah, they
just, they were bullying people in the first 2 weeks. It was scary. Aaron Rodgers, as good as he is, it's going to be tough to even get passes off the way this pass rush is playing. Running the ball against those D tackles and those linebackers is almost impossible. And Carlton Davis is playing out of his mind on that. Oh, Winfield, too. I forget how many great damn players this team has.
Yep.
So it's going to be so, so hard for Aaron Rodgers to put something together. Tom Brady's going to have a little bit better chance, especially bringing in Cole Beasley.
I
think it matters.
I do, too. Cole Beasley feels a lot like a lot of the players that Brady has put in the Hall of Fame. I mean, Julian Edelman and Wes Welker. But let's focus on this a minute, because Brady, with the slamming of the tablet and the provoking the fight with Marshawn Lattimore and everything else, the people that you talk to around the league, what are they saying about the season Brady is having right now?
So, because it's Brady, nobody's that concerned. Mm-hmm. I think in the background, we're talking about, where's his mentals, where's his head, like all the personal stuff. But on the field, people still feel like Brady's Brady. The injuries that they've had and losing Mike Evans, that's a concern, but it's week three. Yeah. I think by season end, everybody's still seeing the Bucs as a potential Super Bowl team.
Do they need more help? Ultimately, yes, because the Super Bowl is the only barometer. And it came up here yesterday. I think it was RG3 who was bringing up yesterday. Like, he misses Gronk. Yeah. They have no production from the tight ends right now.
Yeah.
They've struggled in the red zone, which is where Gronk is as good as anybody of all time. You see what they're missing at this moment. Again, the Evans suspension could not possibly come at a worse time.
Yeah.
But do you think he needs some help he doesn't currently have at some point this year, Chris?
No, I think they'll be all right, because they're going to get all of those guys back and Ryan Jensen at some point in the second half of the season, too. I think they'll be just fine, and that defense is good enough to give that offense runway to figure it out without all of those guys in the lineup. But the thing that I go back to with that game against the Saints on Sunday, I'm not too sure that Tom Brady didn't cause that incident with Marshawn Lattimore
on
purpose.
Of course he did.
Because that was a 3-3 game, and this is a Bucs team that hadn't beaten the Saints in the regular season. Mm-hmm. So that could have been Tom Brady with his Jedi mind tricks trying to get his team fired up. And guess what? It worked. But now you're having to deal with the reality of going into this game without Mike Evans. And so this is in part going to be on Tom Brady, which is why I think the Bucs find a way to be able to pull it out.
Well, that's just giving Tom Brady credit that he doesn't deserve. He was frustrated. And that was a terrible Jedi mind trick if it ends up with you going into next week without your best weapon and one of your few productive weapons. I think Tom Brady is kind of not playing well. And then when you're not playing well, you get frustrated and a bit petulant. The fact of the matter is his defense is good enough to keep them in games. And of course, we all trust Tom Brady at the end of games. Yeah. They're just going to need him to do well in fourth quarters, and he can do that.
And here's what I'll say. If we all think they're going to get better as the season goes on, and we all do, banking a road win at New Orleans week two.
That's a big deal.
Critical.
That's a big deal.
We will remember that game for a lot of reasons by the time we get to December. In the meantime, we got huge games in college this weekend, and the defending champion Georgia, as we speak, is currently number one in our football power index for the second straight week. Georgia has the top spot with an 80% chance of making the college football playoff as well. And I touched on this briefly earlier, so I wanted to bring Paul Feinbaum back into the conversation, and we're delighted to have Heather Dinich with us this morning.
is Georgia somehow, and I mean, I was there at the draft, half their team got drafted. Are they somehow better than they were a year ago?
They're already statistically better than they were a year ago. They're scoring more points. They're gaining more yards. They're on the field longer. And, oh, by the way, Stetson Bennett threw up and came back in the game and did what he did after throwing a touchdown. So, yes, they can absolutely be better. Georgia 2.0 can be very scary.
And what exactly does that mean, Paul? We touched on this earlier, and that's why you said it on your radio show. You know, look, Alabama, Nick Saban, he has run this sport for what feels now like a very long time. Has Georgia replaced Bama as the premier program in the country?
They have, Greeny, and just watch the NFL on Sunday, and there are a lot of Alabama players who are no longer on that campus. They still have the two that matter, but so many have gone, and they have not replaced some of the elite wide receivers. They haven't replaced some of the elite defensive players. And I think overall the biggest deficiency for Alabama today is the fact that Kirby Smart is at Georgia. He was Nick Saban's most valuable assistant, and he's not been able to replace that. And I think a lot of the shift has moved to Georgia. He's very comfortable. Kirby is very comfortable with his staff. He has Will Muschamp there now. And Nick Saban has good assistants. He has Bill O'Brien, but he has never been able to replace Kirby Smart. And I think the shift has already happened. I'm not saying the dynasty's over. I'm not saying any of that. Nick Saban is about to be 71 years old, but Georgia looks like a better program right now, and they're backing it up on the field.
No, they got him last year. We'll see where it all winds up this year. Clearly, both of them figure to be there at the end when it matters. There's one other thing I really wanted to bring you today. So Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, they call that game Bedlam. That's going to be discontinued for now when the Sooners move to the SEC. Yesterday, Mike Gundy, the longtime coach at Oklahoma State, had these thoughts.
Bedlam is history. We all know that. We've known that. Because OU chose to follow Texas and the money to the SEC. It's okay. What's going on now is almost a situation with a husband and a wife, or a girlfriend and a boyfriend. When you know you're dead wrong and you try to turn the table and make them think they're wrong. When Oklahoma State has no part in this, we didn't have anything to do with their negotiations with the SEC. We didn't have any choice on choosing to leave the conference. They did. We got to quit beating around the bush and call it the way it is.
So some pretty big words there. You spoke, I know, to people on both sides of this. What did they tell you?
I did. I spoke with both athletic directors at both schools. And at Oklahoma State, Chad Weiberg told me this is a byproduct of conference realignment. These decisions are not made out of emotions. And they booked their non-conference schedule, which right now, Greeny, is set almost entirely through 2038 before they knew that Oklahoma was going to the SEC. And they're very proud of a lineup they have that includes Arkansas, Alabama, Oregon. There are some big boys, right? So they're saying, logistically speaking, we can't do this right now. Joe Castiglione at Oklahoma said he thinks that this series might be able to resume in the 2030s. But again, this is a product of what's happened, and we've seen it before. We've seen it with Texas A&M. We just saw Oklahoma and Nebraska.
Paul, you have a smile on your face. I'm trying to read. What are your thoughts?
Nobody cares. I mean, come on, Greeny. I mean, we're talking about Stillwater, Oklahoma. Mike Gundy hasn't said anything significant since I'm 40. I'm a man. I mean, what he said yesterday was nonsensical. Oklahoma's moving on. They're going to be playing Alabama. They'll still be playing Texas. They'll be playing A&M in Georgia. This is a nice little game in a small state, but the rest of the country is giving it a big yawn this morning.
That's interesting. Because it does still bring up the question, do people care about these traditional rivalries? We'll talk more about this as we go. Paul, awesome as always. Thank you. Heather's here with us today. And Saturday night, we got a good one. We got C.J. Stroud at number 3 Ohio State hosting Wisconsin. Chris and Kirk will be there 7:30 Eastern on ABC and also on the ESPN app. Coming up, is Micah Parsons the most dominant player in the NFL? And if so, should he win the MVP? We'll show you why he is unstoppable. Next, get up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I don't know the question you're trying to ask.
Be better tomorrow.
I'm not answering that. That's a clown question, bro.
Next.
Mike, why are you in such a bad mood?
What do you care?
What else do you want to know?
Next question.
Your next question.
Next question.
I'm not going to answer any questions for you.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
The moment has arrived. I will pose a series of hard-hitting, provocative questions, and Dominique Foxworth has to answer them. They're good this week. Here we go. I want you to pick for me a team in the NFL that currently has zero wins that you are positive is still going to make the playoffs.
Ooh, positive is a hard one. I guess if I pick one of the zero-win teams, I'm going to go with the Bengals. That division is not as tough as it traditionally is. I think that we saw the Browns collapse. No one believes in the Steelers, and the Ravens are already getting bitten by that injury bug and gave up a really important win last week. So the Bengals have not improved as much as we hoped they would, but their defense is hanging in there, and they have so much talent on offense. It's hard for me to believe that they won't get it together for enough weeks to get the wild card or to win their division.
For the record, in the little tiny structure that we have just a couple of years since they've gone to seven playoff teams, no team has started 0-2 and gone on to make the playoffs. Next, give me a team that should be calling Odell Beckham right now.
Yeah, I think it's the Packers. I think Aaron Rodgers wanted him when he was available in the past, and they really need him right now. And this team does not have a true number one. I know they hope Lazard can be that. Sammy Watkins is currently attempting to be that, but he's not that. A guy that requires double teams, that the defense has to identify where he is on every snap. And the idea of Aaron Rodgers' accuracy, assuming Odell Beckham comes back with his athleticism as high as it is, his accuracy combined with Odell's athleticism could be terrifying for that division.
He looks like he's taking visits right now, doesn't he? Showing
like
up at all these games. All right, one more. Who is the most dominant player in the NFL in any position right now?
Oh, Micah Parsons. Yeah, what he's doing. We've been touting his numbers and how outstanding they've been for the last several days. He's incredible. What he's doing to defenses, what he's doing to offenses is making this Cowboys defense good. Dan Quinn is doing a good job of scheming around his own player. And so, what I mean by that is saying they're putting Micah on one side, then they put their three other defensive linemen on the other side to ensure that they get ISOs. I think this team is competitive right now in large part because of Micah Parsons.
By the way, an adorable moment just took place. Kimberly Martin just walked directly through Dominique's shot, but she wasn't tall enough to block it. So. The entire crew in here had a nervous breakdown, but you only saw the very top of her head. All good. No harm, no foul. All right. Well, let's talk about Micah Parsons. You've got to. You didn't have that problem. I'll tell you that right now.
Not at all. Not at all.
Blocked out the sun. Anyway, the question is, Micah Parsons, tape, go.
Yeah, here's the thing. Micah Parsons has all the tools in the tool bag, and he's got the get off to be able to make offensive linemen break the square. What I mean by that, Greeny, is offensive linemen are taught to try to stay square at the line of scrimmage, but because of his get off, they're forced to turn their shoulders. They end up parallel to the line of scrimmage. You saw the speed rush right there. You saw the speed to power. Now you got a spin move that he put on Donovan Smith.
Lord.
That was dirty right there. And then, of course, you're going to actually see him with the up and under, the swipe inside on Lyle Collins, his former teammate. And this is a guy that's doing this at 250 pounds against 300-pound men, Greeny. It just shows you the explosiveness that Micah Parsons has. Again, something very fundamental. His get-off, it's exceptional, and that forces offensive linemen to try to block him differently. Unfortunately, they're not having a whole lot of success.
Defensive play. I mean, look at the look on a defender's face. A defensive players winning MVP happens very seldom in the NFL. I think it's Lawrence Taylor and Reggie White.
Alan Page.
Am I missing someone? Alan Page.
Yep.
All the way back in the day. I mean, you know all the about the. Could we actually be seeing someone who could win MVP of the league?
I just feel like they give it to quarterbacks. Yeah. I would love to see it happen. I just don't think this award ever goes to defensive players. I think defensive player of the year, clearly, especially with T.J. Watt missing time. I think Micah, the fact that he's so young, too, that to me is what's scary. Like, he's still developing into a beast, and he's a monster already.
I think the attention he's getting, Chris, and all, if the Cowboys have a really good year and the defense is the reason why, I think he has a real shot to be in the conversation.
There's no question about it in my mind, G. If the Cowboys win the NFC East, it will be because of the defense, and that means that Micah Parsons had an MVP caliber year.
I think Kimberly's probably right, and she's being rational. However, let's be the change we want to see in the world.
Thank you, I want to live in a world where defense
players get the respect that they deserve, and if we're going to give it to someone, we should give it to Micah Parsons and a couple retroactive Aaron Donald MVPs,
yes,
too.
Praise, Pastor. Praise, Pastor.
Is there anything that you can do to be more valuable than he's been for this team through the first two games?
The football?
No, well, that it's a joke, but it's not a joke. I think that's how these awards are given out. It's the straight QBs, and that's unfortunate.
He actually probably could do that, too. There's no position on the defense he can't play. By the way, we have two more Leagues Cup showcase matches for you tonight. MLS versus Liga MX. Cincinnati hosting Chivas, 7 Eastern. Then Nashville taking on Club America. Both matches are on ESPN and the ESPN app. Our first take is coming up top of the hour here. How significant is Aaron Judge's 60th home run? Are the Dolphins a legit threat in the AFC East? First take, Molly, Stephen A., Chris Russo, and Neek will be there too. Top of the hour here on ESPN.
This is your typical radio ad while eating a Crunch Bar.
This is Automatic of Otto's Used Cars. This weekend only, we're having a whale! Bring the kids. See for yourself. It is huge. Gonna make a big splash. No other dealer can say they have a whale like this.
When things sound dull, turn up the fun with Crunch.
This episode is brought to you by Purina and their certified therapy dogs, like Hanley. Say hi, Hanley! Hanley is one of 30 therapy dogs Purina has helped get certified to support kids struggling with their mental health. Purina employees are volunteering their time and family pets like Hanley to help make pet therapy more accessible to patients, students, and kids like me. Learn more about Purina's pet therapy program at purina.com/mentalhealth.
Number 99 chasing number 9.
People are going to keep saying every game, you know, you're on pace for this, on pace for that.
It is gone, number 61.
The home run king, Roger Maris.
Every night, everybody's expecting a home run from him.
Judge chasing history.
When you know you're real close to something, you're going to try and gun for it.
There it goes, number 60.
It's an incredible honor, but we're not done.
Aaron Judge last night joining Roger Maris and Babe Ruth, the only American League players to hit 60 home runs in a season. Judge is on pace to finish with 66, which would tie him with Sammy Sosa for third most in a season all time, which is a sentence that it pains me to actually read aloud. But it brings me to this question. The record for most touchdown passes in a season is 55, held by Peyton Manning in the year 2013. Who will be the first player to throw 60 touchdown passes in a season? We're going to put all the picks up there. Let's see. Kmart's got Mahomes. Neek's got Rodgers. Huh. Heather's got Joe Burrow. How about that?
As a Steelers fan, I'm shocked.
Well, guess what? Joe Burrow's already done it. Sneaky Hembo reminded me he had 60 during the 2019 LSU National Championship game.
Hello.
Hello.
What about Heather bringing the facts all day long? Neek, who is Rodgers throwing 60 touchdowns to?
I don't know, man. You got to believe in the guy. Maybe next season they're going to bring some. I don't know. It was a bad pick. I'm sorry.
This is a statement game. Jeez. He might throw 60 this weekend.
Mahomes does feel like.
How is Josh Allen not on here? How is Josh Allen not on here?
It was between Josh or Patrick. Patrick had 50, 2018, so I think he's the closest. Yeah, I think he's the closest.
I feel pretty good about that pick. All right, we're going to finish it with something a little funny. And it's something that's a little bit inside. And by no means should Kimberly feel bad about it. It happens. We do a live television show every day. Sometimes things happen that we don't anticipate and that we don't mean to happen. Mm-hmm. So a couple of minutes ago, Dominique was talking, and Kimberly was coming over to join us. And I could see her walking directly towards his camera. And my first thought is, oh, no.
That is my head, ladies and gentlemen. That is my head. But can I say, normally I do try to upstage Dominique, but that was not intentional at all. But I will say, this is a great ad for my Jays right now, because I almost wore heels on this show. Oh. Had I worn the heels, I would have obscured
Jordan
not, your,
the
whole,
win.
Not right? your whole forehead, not your whole forehead, but I would have been in the shot.
Well,
but
that's the thing
that
about
the sneakers
it
today.
Is that generally we worry about someone crossing in yes. front of the camera because it'll block out everything else we want you to see. So, for example, just to give you an illustration of what that usually looks like, Chris, just walk by the camera if you'll be so kind. Here, come back to the live shot, Cindy. And Chris, just walk right by the shot. See, you would have missed absolutely
yes,
everything
you would have
if Chris
Kempsey
had walked by.
All of us.
All's well that ends well. Thanks for getting up with us. We'll see you back in Better Than Ever tomorrow. First Take starts now.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.